World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Just pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, good Monday morning here, folks. A little weary here this morning. Coach Dave coming to you live from our underground bunker here outside of out in the cornfields outside of Columbus, Ohio. Got late night last night. We took the red eye, even though it wasn't a red eye. Felt like the red eye. Home from what was a really, really fabulous weekend in Dallas, Texas. Michelle and I don't know what time I finally curled into bed. And crazy me, I got up. Michelle would probably tell you this. You change time zones and all that kind of stuff. And I popped up out of bed at 4. Went to bed about 1, I think, and I popped up out of bed at 4:30 and got up and brushed my teeth, get dressed, because I've got this mindset that I'm on Central Time, right? So I look over at my clock and it's 4:30, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, it's 5:30. And so I tried to go back and sleep. So I'm may not be at the top of my game here intellectually this morning, although I'm certainly at the top of my game and living my life and. Appreciate all of you that have joined us here today. I look up there. We've got a few spaces for somebody to jump in. We still left a contingent of guys behind in Dallas. I'm going to talk about Dallas here in a minute. And just what a great group of guys. My goodness. What a great group of guys that we have. And one of the things that's really good about getting away like that is I'm still in Facebook jail. I'm getting email. That's not the right word. I'm getting messages on Facebook from people. And they probably wonder, what's with this guy? Why won't he respond? I'm still in jail. 2 more weeks, I don't know how long. But one of the good things about it is it's kind of weaning me off of Facebook anyway. I mean, I don't care much about Facebook other than that's where the world is. So I like to get on there just to impact people, you know, get them thinking a little bit. And so those of you who are trying to contact me through Facebook are doing the best I can. But I can't even respond. You can send me a message and I can't even say, yep. No, I can't send anything back to you. Can't post anything. So, you know, we had some of the guys that were down there, did some great stuff posting. I don't know if all of you get to their website. So in other words, if Ray LeBlanc puts something on my website, my Facebook page, I can't forward it. I can't. So can't get it out. It's an information war that we're in and, good to be home. Good to be home. Great weather down there. I want to do a little bit of brag. Did somebody try to beep in there real quick? I thought I heard somebody. Maybe I didn't. I want to tip my hat here to a couple guys. I got some stuff I want to show you. See, Lord, let's do this. Yeah, let's go there first. I was on the way home on the plane last night. And several times throughout the weekend, I asked my wife, how'd I get here? What am I doing with these guys in Dallas? What do I fit in here? What is going on? Henry Groover, world walker, world prayer walker, experiences he's had, and he spoke for 3 hours and 15 minutes the other night. L.A. Marzulli and the Giants and the Skulls and the pictures and stuff that he had. Russ Dizdar and the MK Ultras. Dr. Michael Lake. Oh, my goodness. The information. I could go on and on and on. Carl Gallup. It's just absolutely, absolutely information overload. And I used the illustration when I got up to spoke. I spoke on Saturday morning. I started off on Saturday morning. And I had this illustration. Maybe if I had a piece of paper here, I could show you. I probably can do it. And I don't want to do it all. You guys know what a stick man is? Garrett, see if you can find a picture of a stick man. You know what a stick man is. See if you can get that and get it up on the screen for us. I'm a little weary. Let me get this out, okay? I'm asking my wife, how do we get here, honey? How do we get here? Because when I come and speak, one thing that you, I'm not a historian. I'm not a researcher. I don't know what I am. I mean, really. And so I look around at all these guys, and they all have written these books and done this unbelievable research. And I said, Lord, what am I? Why are you putting me? I'm not complaining. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining. I said, Lord, where do I fit in here? Where do I fit in?
You're a motivator.
Yeah, thank you. I am a motivator. Sometimes I have to tell you, sometimes I feel like I heard a guy say, I can't remember who it was, somewhere in all my travels or all my Facebooks and YouTubes, I heard somebody say, well, if you can't feel the presence of the Spirit, well, then just come and watch me burn. If that's all it is, just come and watch me burn. And there's an element about me and an element about what I do that is, it's almost like an organ grinder monkey. It's entertaining. It's motivating. But I get frustrated in that I want players. I want to tickle ears. And Lord showed me this. Jared's got it up on the screen, guys. I don't know. Can you click it? Look at that little stick man. Little stick man. And the Lord showed me. I think it was the Lord. I was pretty tired, but I think it was him. He said, right there, he said, Coach, he didn't call me Coach. I got to be careful because they pick up every word you say. See, a lot of our critics have no sense of humor at all. Somebody say amen. They got no sense of humor. They don't know when you're telling a joke. They don't know when you're making an analogy. It's amen.
Amen.
And the Holy Spirit said to me, Coach, there are my people. Right there they are. And I said, what do you mean, Lord? What do you mean? He said, well, you got great big heads, just full of head knowledge. And real tiny little spirits. Little souls. Because they never do anything except research and read, think. Expound. I'm sitting in that room in Dallas. I don't know how many people were there, 600. I don't really know what the count was, 600, 700 people come and go. And it's like they're all sitting at a buffet, an information buffet. You ever go to one of those? Ever go to Ryan's, what do they call that thing? Is it Ryan's Steakhouse, but it's not Steakhouse, where you can eat all you want to eat? Gorge all you want to gorge. That's us. Wait a minute. That's what I would call the remnant. Because the remnant in particular, the remnant church, I don't even feel comfortable like that because when I say that, I feel like we're putting ourselves above everybody else. And that's not even it. The red pill group, the blue pill group, what do we call them? What do we call ourselves? Those... I can't tell you the number of folks I ran into this interesting. When I spoke, I said, how many are here for the first time? And here the Watchman for the first time. I think this is the third or fourth one that we've done in Dallas. How many are here for the first time? Most of the crowd is probably from the Texas area. And 2/3 of the crowd went up. 2/3 new people coming to get this information. New people. So it encourages me in a couple ways. Number one, there is a remnant. There is a group of red pill, blue pill. There is a red pill group out there, people. We did an interview, Gary, God bless Gary Pierce and Sarge, and I'll get into all that here in a second. We ran into a girl named Nicole. We did four videos with her. She's come out of she's 47 years old, come out of sexual immorality and pot and all that. Just in the last year, got saved, radically saved out of Catholicism. And and just can't get enough. And I wonder why there's so much in so many ways, so much intellectual apathy. I'm doubling back. Stay with me. And I'm saying, what do we have to do to get those stick men to move to action? That's my greatest frustration. That's what I'm about. I'm going to show you something that encouraged me. Just a second, Jared. Not yet. As you look at that stick man, I know I'm going to forget some guys. We started the Salt and Light Brigade. I think it was 3 years ago. It might have been 4 years ago down in Dallas. I went to hear the watchman down there. And if you remember, I said we had 71 men. We had 71 names after the event was over. 71 names of guys who came, gave us their names. And Chad, I'd met Chad before because Chad had driven all the way Chad Estes had driven all the way to Dallas Washington, D.C. for an event we had there. I met he and his wife, Michelle, and then reunited with them in Dallas. And so we had 71 names on a list of guys that said they wanted to do something. When I spoke that night, we had all the men come forward. And they all, you know how it is when it's an altar call. It's all emotional. So we get these names of 71 guys that said, okay, we're going to come back down there and we're going to get us a Salt and Light Brigade going on down in Texas. And Chad did yeoman's work and he called everyone and we emailed him and we set up an event and we're going to go. And I got Rusty Thomas who lives down in Waco. Rusty, you come with me. I'm going to wake these men up. It's going to be great. And we got us a church. We showed up and Chad and Michelle Estes were there. And me and Rusty Thomas. There's four of us. I flew all the way down there. There's four of us. And I preached anyway. So did Rusty. Four of us. I knew what Rusty was going to say. He knew what I was going to say. Chad and Michelle probably knew what I was going to say. I said, Lord, you brought me down there for a reason. I don't know what it is. And so we got through preaching. We're closing up. We walk out the church, out the door. And we get out the door, close the door behind us, and the car pulls in the parking lot, and this guy pops out. And he says, hey, I'm here for that boot camp or whatever. I'm here for that. I said, well, you're late, dude. We're shutting her down. He said, listen, well, come over to Whataburger with us, and we'll discuss. We'll try to fill you in. So we all went over to Whataburger. We sat down with Glenn and met his wife, Corinne, and we shared with them what was going on. And they seemed like nice people and, scratching their head, but, they probably hadn't had the red pill hit them yet. And I got on a plane the next morning, flew back home and said, well, there you go. I don't know what that was about, Lord. I don't know what that was about. And Chad asked us who, behind the scenes, most of you guys don't have any idea what he's doing down there in Texas. He kept working it and working it and working it, having events at his house and getting people to come to his house and holding things at the Estes Ranch. Glenn begins to get on, and David Hawkins begins to come on board, and guys are working in it and working it and working it. We go down there, and Chad starts having these events, and I went down for one of the weekends down there, and it's growing and it's growing. And then this last, I think it was Friday night, we went out to eat. And I want to show you something. I don't know where you are, folks, and I don't know what it is that you're trying to do. But remember this, one man plants and another man waters and God gives in. If you are faithful, if you quit looking around at numbers, remember the Lord called faithful men. He didn't call you to be successful. He called you to be faithful. And Friday night we went out to eat, and look at that screen. Now that's a third, maybe a fourth of the Salt and Light Brigade that's forming down in Texas. There's old Sarge at the top and David Hawkins beside him and Anthony and Josh Mann, and there's Chad in the middle, and then Carla's there, and Ray's behind Carla, and Gary, and there's Glenn, and there's Jack, and you come down to the left side, there's Karen, and I mean, I'm not going to tell you that. Look at David Davis sitting there in the middle, and Michelle's got her around my neck, and then sitting beside me is Lexi, My goodness, Lexi's a 17, I think she's 17-year-old, high school kid, daughter, stepdaughter, I guess, daughter of the mother standing right beside her there. She, Lexi, is on fire, going to the abortion clinics. Todd Barnum and his family, they're going to the abortion clinics. And I want you to see something. I want you to understand the significance of this, folks. This started for me and Chad and his wife. And if we said we're going to give $1,000 to everybody down there in Texas who's part of the Salt and Light Brigade, if you'll come out to eat with us, give you all $1,000, there'd have been 3, 4, maybe 5 times as many people who are actively involved to some degree connected to us, with us. It was a great encouragement to me. Sarge came all the way from Maine. David Hawkins gave us a place to stay. Anthony comes. Josh Manna. There's a story there. I can talk. Not going to go there. And Big Chad in the middle. Are you ready for this one? Big Chad right there in the middle. He is a trooper, a Texas trooper. I don't even know what the real name of him is, right? While we're at the conference on Friday night, Chad's truck gets stolen out of the parking lot. He gets up Saturday morning to go out to his truck, and he goes out to where his truck was, and his truck isn't there. Now, I don't know about when that happens to you. Don't you start patting yourself. Where are your keys? Where did I park that? He comes back in, yells at his son, who's right in front of him there in the picture. Hey, where'd you park my truck? And then Jay says, well, I parked it right where you had it. I put it right back in the same place. So they come and steal his truck. And you know what? The whole weekend, Chad is working the crowd and doing his thing and not whining and moaning. If it would have been me, I'd have been driving up and down every street, calling every cop, trying to find my truck. And Chad just went on with it. Like he says, hey, listen, your life can change in a minute. It can change. It is what it is. Yeah, it's my truck. And I have this. Yeah. Well, it's in some chop shop. It's gone. And then, what am I going to do? I'm here. And he kept working the crowd. And I get home. We hit the ground in Columbus, Ohio last night. And a message pops up on Michelle's, my wife's phone. And they found Chad's truck. And what, Chad? The radio's taken out of it and some other things like that. But there's like a supernatural protection around that. What is that thing? Ford, 350. They don't mean nothing to me. They all got trucks down there in Texas. But they found his truck. And praise the Lord on that. But I guess I'm trying to encourage all of you. It all begins with one, man. It all begins with one. And I would just encourage you guys, all of you, to look at the fruit of Chad Estes' effort. Look at that. Amazing. And so one of the things we're going to have to do is we're going to have to train others how to do this. Chad, I don't know if you're still with us here. Jump in here a second, Chad. I just want to acknowledge how hard Sarge worked all the way from Maine. Sarge drove from Florida to Texas to be there. And Gary Pierce, Gary's right there in the yellow shirt standing next to Ray LeBlanc. Gary came down. He did all the table work, did a lot of work with it. So Michelle and I could go around and press the flesh. And then that little Lexi sitting right beside him on fire for the Lord. David Davis. Anyway, Chad, are you there, man?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Just your reaction, Chad. First of all, you're going to get your truck back. That's going to be okay, huh?
Yeah, I'm excited about it. You know, I'm relieved, but I realized that, you know, as being a bit of a prepper and things like that, that material things, they can be gone and taken from you in an instant. And you have to, your ultimate prep has to be Christ. So amen. If you stay faithful to him, he can provide anything. I mean, you know, he's got a huge checkbook. He can create anything. You know what I'm saying? He can create it. You know, and I just tried to stay. I mean, I'm flattered. I appreciate all that. But, you know, I couldn't have done anything with the other people who didn't decide to join.
That's right.
Decide to buy them. And so it's not about me. It's about, you know, it's about Todd. It's about Glenn. It's about Josh. David and Cynthia, you know, of course, their wives, and you know, it just builds on George and Paula and Jay Bennett, and there's, you know, a lot of people that come and just, you know, they bring a friend and that kind of stuff, and so we try to incorporate different things. So, you know, I'm just, I'm just grateful. I just sometimes get out of the way.
Yeah, well,
so I'm not trying to take you.
But brother, there's fruit from it, isn't it? And I don't know. Hey, listen, for those of you who didn't go there, just bear with us here a few minutes, okay? Because I'm telling you, there is such a hunger for truth. Just a hunger for truth. And that room is filled. I'm in Ezekiel 34 today, Jared, as you're kind of monkeying around, maybe you can go there. Ezekiel 34. Hey, David Davis, are you there, David? I mean, I see you there. Can you come in? Can you open your microphone up, yeah. David?
Yes, brother David.
Okay, brother. David was there. David was there all weekend. Was a great help to us. Just your impression, David, of getting out there and being a part of that thing.
There were some very powerful things. I think one of the most powerful things for me is seeing Coach and a bunch of us pray over this one young man. I couldn't quite hear all what was going on in his life, but you could tell the Holy Spirit was moving all over him because it broke some bonds. Coach directed him on some things that he needed to do. From what I gathered, that he was having family problems at home. Coach told him to go home and anoint his house. The front of his house, and they, you know, we all here know that's very spiritual significance. And Coach told him right. He told him right to do that. But what meant the most to me, and it's choking me up. Y'all don't know how long I have been without brothers and sisters in Christ to make connections with. And I've made some connections that will not be separated. It's something to come here every morning and make connections here. But when you meet somebody in person, it's a lot different because you get to see them eye to eye.
Amen. Amen.
And when you see them eye to eye, there's just something there that's even hard to explain.
Mm-hmm.
But that love connection, that bond that Christ gives us, it's what I look forward to every day when I come in here.
Amen. Amen.
Because only with like-minded people, only with like-minded people can you make that connection.
Hey, David?
Yep. Yes, go ahead, Larry.
What you're talking about is absolutely super because you know, we can have and identify each other as brothers and sisters in Christ here on the internet and stuff, and it has meaning and it builds a bond. But that verse, love your neighbor as yourself, the second of the great, you know, of the two greatest commandments, the literal meaning for the Greek word neighbor is a close relative who is nearby. Somebody can reach out and touch. And that is the kind of experience that you had And you develop a love for your brothers and sisters in Christ when you can just, you know, I mean, it's just an automatic thing when you love Jesus to love your brothers and sisters.
It is for sure. So I just, you know, I don't want us to keep crying all over ourselves here. Guys, we're having another one here on April 20th. We're having one here in Ohio, April 20th through the 22nd. And, try to get here. That's all I can say. If you can't make it in April, try to make our event in June. You need to know each other and look each other in the eye. You need to do that. You need to do that. And so we have the event coming. Listen, I just gonna say, I can't believe Josh Tolley. God bless Josh Tolley. You guys don't know him, but I just got to say, I can't believe the people who gripe about having to pay to come to an event. These are the same people that they spend money going to football games and basketball games, and people sit on the outside. Why are you guys charging for the golf? You have any? I know you don't. We invested. Pass the salt. We invested. We got some skin in the game down in Texas. I'm telling you. We didn't go down there to make money. Hotel rooms cost money. Airline tickets cost money. Shipping stuff costs money. And I'm sick and tired of hearing from of you out there saying, why are you guys charging for the gospel? I'm not charging for the gospel. All right? We're paying to help men get their lives changed through the gospel. And I don't know where you live. It takes money to do that. It takes money to do that. Sick of hearing. Oh, I'm so sick of that. So sick of it. So, hey, come April 20th through the 22nd. If you can, anybody, I'm going to shift gears here and stop because there's nothing worse than hearing people talk. Nothing worse than hearing people talk about something that you missed. Mark.
Be led by the Spirit. Don't worry about the money, where the money goes. Yep. Don't worry about these people. Jeepers. Yep. It's like we all, every single one of us, have no issue with where the money's going. We're the ones donating. We're the ones supporting. So, Coach, we trust you. We love you.
Amen. Hey, thanks, man. Nobody's lying on anybody's pockets. Not nobody. L.A. Marzulli. If you think L.A. If somebody, I don't know. I don't know. When L.A. Marzulli comes to speak in Ohio, we're going to give him an honorarium. A worker is worthy of his wages. But I'm going to tell you something. L.A. Marzulli told me it cost him $1,000 to ship his book to hear the watch. $1,000 just to get the books there. I mean, I sometimes I don't get people. I don't get it. So there are expenses involved with it. And I'm not talking about just me and our event. I'm just saying these guys are all invested. Russ Dizdar shipped all of his books down there, probably $1,000. Had the wrong zip code, and they never showed up, and he had to ship them back. And then how about this one? Some of these guys are coming to Ohio, and old Ray LeBlanc, he's down there. He's everywhere. So they throw him in my van. I'll drive him. So all of L.A. Marzulli's books that is going to have to be shipped back to California and then shipped to Ohio, they're in Ray LeBlanc's truck, and he's driving them up. So, there's just a lot of good things going on. Yeah, come on in.
No one complaining about the money is going to any of the conferences. Those are people, those are most probably right-wing watch retards or something like that.
Let me ask you this, even if they are complaining, what is it? David Davis has a connection now that he never had. Is that worth something to you? Is that worth something to us?
Worth more than gold. Amen.
Right?
Amen.
It's to me, that's worth something. I don't mind. I'd rather give my money to L.A. Marzulli than I would to somebody else. I'd rather do that and give it to LeBron James. I'd sure rather do that. And I hope L.A. Marzulli becomes a millionaire. I hope he spends every cent of it advancing the kingdom of God. Okay? It's never about money with those guys. They come and do it, but they got to feed their family, too. I told L.A., you better move. He lives clear in Los Angeles. I said, my goodness. No wonder you hung broke. You got to fly everywhere so far. Yeah. Yeah.
I want to share with David Davis. I met a guy named Robert. Out in Idaho. You're right. It's about these relationships,
mm-hmm.
and they're amazing. You can't describe it. And I've lived a life like you, David, without these relationships. So I'm just so thankful that Coach has created a forum and we got a way to share beyond a conference. You know, look at what we get to do with each other.
Amen. Glenn, are you there, Glenn? Are you there, Glenn? I mean, I see you're there. Can you unmute yourself? I don't know if you're capable of doing that. whether you're laying in bed sleeping, which is probably what I would be doing.
Yeah, I'm here. I'm here, Coach. Yeah.
Hey, Glenn, if you can, just take a couple. Glenn's down there in the Dallas area, and Glenn is a Johnny Appleseed, in that he was going to was. I don't know if he still is. Yeah, probably still is. Associated with a Evangelifish church, and Glenn has done nothing but try to plant. Glenn's the guy who showed up late down in Temple, Texas, or wherever we were that night. Me, Chad, we got in the parking lot. Glenn shows up, and Glenn has been on fire. Glenn, just hey guys, I'm not talking to all of us into the queue. You understand that there are thousands of people that are listening to us right now. I'm speaking to them. Okay, bear with me a second, Glenn. Your reaction and the trouble that you've had trying to wake people up and get them involved and get them off of their butt. Just share a little bit, Glenn.
Well, you know, I have about, I don't know, 75 or 80 people that, you know, that I email things to. Primarily, Coach, I email your show. And just so I don't, you know, over inundate them, I try to space it out a little bit. You know, but very seldom do I get any feedback. And I scratch my head and I think, you know, I'm wondering if these guys, you know, when they see it, are they just, you know, deleting it and saying, oh, there goes Claremont again, you know, send me another one of those things. So, you know, they probably all think I'm tinfoil hat, you know, and I try to encourage guys to listen, you know. So I went to the meeting, Coach, with an objective. And I think a couple of other people had the same idea, but I went there looking for people who, rather than looking for, you know, trying to wake people up, I'm looking for people that are being woken up, that are being attracted, looking for something. And my objective is to hopefully get the Salt and Light Brigade going in the Dallas area. As a branch, not to branch off from what Chad's doing, but to be part of, to build it.
Fellowship. And fellowship.
Exactly. And so identified. I went back on Sunday and took the names and emails and phone numbers down of all the people that are in the Metroplex area, and David Hawkins and I will follow up with those people. And our goal is to have a meeting shortly after the Watchman, conference, and then use that as a springboard for another meeting, at Chad's. And I think, you know, maybe Todd's doing the same thing down in Houston with some of the people that, attended the conference from that area.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are people that want to do something, and people were coming to the table after you spoke, Coach.
That's right, they did.
Now I know there'll probably be, you know, some drop off in that, but I think that there'll be a few people like David Davis who will continue. So I don't want to let them just, you know, forget about them, but to follow through with those people.
We got to plug people in, man. We have to plug people in. That's what I'm saying. So again, I don't want to keep crying all over ourselves, but it's really, really impactful. And I was really excited about this. I had people would come to our table a lot and ask questions. Are women allowed? I'm telling you, the bond that's being built between the women of the brigade is pretty amazing too. And Michelle and I got to know David and Cynthia Hawkins better, and got to know. I just go on and on and on. And so this kind of stuff. So it's all about, in my mind, all about. Anybody else? Because I'll move to something else. I don't not let anybody chance get in here.
My daughter Chanel told me that Iowa passed a heartbeat bill this weekend, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Good. And there's one being introduced in Ohio to actually criminalize abortion. Interesting, I would say that. Jared, you got Ezekiel 34 up. Hope you all turn there with me. I got some stuff I want to show you, but I got some stuff I got to read out of this with you first, okay? And you know what? When they had the altar call Friday, what was it, Friday night or Saturday? Yeah, I spoke Friday. Well, I don't know. When did I speak? I spoke Friday night. There was an altar call. Get my brain working. Who was that guy that spoke on Friday night? And then we had the altar call afterwards. Who was that speaker? My brain. Anyway, had an altar call. Dizdar. Thank you. Russ Dizdar did it. Russ Dizdar had an altar call. And he called for ministers. Ministers to come forward. And it was awesome. Because the ministers came forward were wearing Salt and Light Brigade shirts. Our guys were the ministers at the altar on Friday night. And after it was over, and the David spoke about the fact we were praying for guys and all that stuff, and it was great. Guys stepped up and did a great job with it on their own. I asked as I was walking back to the seat again, I said, Lord, where are the shepherds? Where are our pastors? Where are our pastors, and why wouldn't they want to come and understand, hear and understand this? So he tapped me on the shoulder and said, well, you better look at Ezekiel 34. So I did. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of America. Prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God unto the shepherds. Woe be to the shepherds of Israel. They do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? You eat the fat and you clothe you with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened? Neither have you healed up that which was sick. Neither have you bound up that which is broken. Neither have you brought again that which was driven away. A lot of people have been driven away. Neither have you sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have you ruled over them. I put over in there. And they were scattered. Because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. That room was filled of people, unchurched people who cannot find shepherds. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. Sorry, I read that again. Verse 6. So the Lord says, my sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every hill. Yeah, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth. And nobody searched for them or went after them. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. It's verse 9. You ready? I didn't write this, although I could have. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus say the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds. And I will. What I want you to, with your pencil in your hand, I want you to notice the I wills that we're about to read here, all right? From the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. And as a shepherd seeketh out his flock in that day, that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. Hey, boys, it's a cloudy and dark day. Be encouraged. And I'll bring them out from the people, and I'll gather them from the countries, and I will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers. And in all the inhabited places of the country, and I will feed them in a good pasture. And upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be.
Then shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. And I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, says the Lord God. And I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong, and I will feed them with justice, judgment. And as for you, O my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between cattle and cattle. And I judge between the rams and the goats. Does it seem a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters? But ye must foul the residue with your feet. You're ruining the food. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet. And they drink that which you have fouled with you. You get what he's saying? He said that truth is being trodden under, and that my people are so hungry, they're out there nibbling and eating that stuff that you have been trampling down and making fun of and casting away. My people are eating it. They're finding it, and they're eating it. Verse 19, 20. Therefore, thus said the Lord God unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder and pushed all that disease with your horns till you have scattered them abroad. You get that picture? Man, the shepherds have got those horns, and they're just pushing. They're throwing Larry out, and they're throwing David out, and they're throwing the other David out, and getting rid of Chad. They're scattered abroad. Therefore will I say, my flock, they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle, and I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my shepherd David. He shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd, and the Lord will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and I will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. That's us, isn't it? Going to dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. And the tree of the field shall yield her fruit, and the earth shall yield her increase, and they shall be safe in their land and shall know that I am the Lord. Not the guy standing in the pulpit. I am the Lord. And when I have broken the bands of their yoke and have delivered them out of the hand of those that served themselves of them, and they shall no more be prey to the heathen, neither shall the beast of the land devour them, but they shall dwell safely, and none shall make them afraid. And I will raise up from them a plant of renown, and they shall be no more consumed with hunger in the land, and neither bear the shame of the heathen anymore. Thus shall they know that I, the Lord their God, am with them, that they, even the house of Israel, are my people, says the Lord God. And you're my flock, the flock of my pasture are men, and I am your God, saith the Lord God. Boys, the Lord is not done. Not done. Where are our pastors? Somebody climb in here. Somebody help me out.
We're making the pastors, brother. That's what's happening. We're going to remake them.
The Lord is our shepherd. Do you understand that? The Lord is our shepherd. We're just, what are we? We're just underlings. We're just helpers. We're just facilitators. We're just seed sowers and waterers. That's what we do. And the Lord said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to find him. And Glenn's going out and finding him. And Chad's going out and finding him. And George is going out and finding him. And it's our obligation. You have been called. You have been marked. You have been marked what? To do something. You've been marked. All those people
that have rejected you, took their horns and butted you out of the way, threw you in the back shed, and all of them. Lord's reaching down. He's marking you. He said, come on, man. Get up. Get up. Broad, narrow, wide. Oh, my goodness. Look here. After 5 days, will you look here? Look at this. That's something to come home to. Go ahead. Good to see you, Dee Dee.
Hey, Coach, you're absolutely right. Hey, I want to share something with you. Ray LeBlanc and I were praying. This guy came up for prayer, okay, after Rusty Isdore spoke, and we had that altar call.
Yeah.
I looked at the guy, and I said, you know, I looked at him. I said, hey, don't I know you? He says, yeah, I get your emails, he says to me. He's down from he lives in some place called the Highlands, which is I looked it up on the map, and it's, you know, it's kind of down toward Houston and between Houston and Austin. But anyway, he came up for prayer because he had lost his job. He has this thyroid condition, and he just wanted prayer for healing. And he had anxiety, and I think that was over his job. So he says, well, I lost my job, so I don't have too much anxiety anymore, but I have this thyroid condition, and I can't sleep at night. So we prayed for healing for him, and he came back the next day looking for me at the table. He says, hey, I want to tell you, you know, you guys prayed for me. He says, I'm feeling a lot better. So anyway, he signed up. He wants to get involved.
Because we are ministers. Every one of us is a minister. We got to go out into the highways and the byways and compel men to come to Christ, to shake off the phony religious attire. Get rid of that stuff. Come to the Lord. Boys, we are in unbelievable times. Just Reese's wearing all of my hats here. David's sitting on my lap. Jump in here. What are you thinking this morning, Roger? What do you think? It doesn't have to be Roger. I just yelled that name out there. Somebody come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Hey, George.
If it has never been clear, it has become extremely clear. The pastors in this country, they have the luxury of chasing two things that most pastors in other countries don't sing, and that's money and that's prestige.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there's some good pastors out there that are probably doing the best they can, but for the most part, I think that's the greatest temptation ministers have in this country. They can actually become somewhat of celebrities, where in other countries they don't have that luxury. I'm reading a book right now. It's called Tortured for Christ by Rand.
Yeah, right.
Man, you start reading about some of these pastors and behind the old Iron Curtain and in persecution. And I mean, it was survival. It wasn't making money and doing all. I think that's one of the greatest things we have with you.
See, George, we have to decide whether we're going to be popular or prophetic. That's what we're going to have to decide. And you know, I could veer right now. I could veer into politics, and I'm not going to veer into politics. That you do understand, don't you? That's where everybody's got their hope. Everybody's got their hopes in politics. And I don't know how many times I've said on this program, Donald Trump ain't going to make America great again. So if you have your thermometer or your barometer being measured by Donald Trump, fellas, you are so missing what's going on. You are so missing. Oh, my goodness. And I hear people griping and moaning about the budget, and they funded Planned Parenthood. There's nobody more ticked off about me. But the church don't care. Why do they think Trump would care? What? See, Paul Ryan and those guys, do you think they thought they were going to hear a whimper? They're going to hear a whimper from the church? We got everything backwards. We got everything upside down. And so we sit out here like little sheep, and we beg our leaders to do the right thing. I ain't doing that anymore. I'm going to continue to bloom where I'm planted. I'm going to plow where I live. And try to make a difference right there. And I'm trying to wake up and encourage more of you to do the same. The Lord, hey, put that picture back up there again, Jer. Put that picture up there of us out going out to eat. There it is. That's a third of a group of people that started with me and Chad and Michelle Estes, and then Glenn and Corinne showing up late. And it's bigger and it's broader than that. Chad Estes is Johnny Appleseed. He's done it. Look at that. More of you can do the same thing.
Well, Dave, I just want to say too, along those lines. Look, it's not about me.
you know, you're a vessel, man. No, it isn't about you, and it ain't about me. It ain't about anybody, right?
Right.
Just somebody step up and make a play.
But I have to say that, you know, look, it starts in your own house. If you can't even unite your own house, then how are you going to draw other people in? So, my wife is great. It's a good support network. Okay, she's also my secretary, my miscellaneous person. I said, hey, you need to contact these people. You contact these people. I'm going to contact these people. You know, so just like you have, you know what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. So,
and Chad, you're working a job. You're actually working a job while you're doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just want to encourage guys, look, like Glenn, what we're trying to do something, you know, I find a person that steps up in another city and then I help them grow theirs, each thing. And then we have like a regional meetings and they have local meetings in between our regional meetings. So like every few weeks, you know, we're getting around each other. We're doing something. We're being involved. You know, we've set goals. We have an agenda. And we're moving forward. Just keep marching. And so, you know, I know there's a lot of guys out there. Rich Wallace, you know, he's trying to start something going on. I know Kevin is and Kevin in Maine, and those guys are doing stuff. And so there's a lot of contacts out there, and they're developing. And I'll tell anybody that wants to call me or whatever, I'll help them however I can. You know,
So folks, look at this right here. You tell me that couldn't be a picture of a local church group that had gone out to dinner together, but it's not a church group. I mean, it is, but it isn't. I mean, I know you guys get the picture. This is the church. And then they all leave and they go and they plant seeds wherever they've gone. They water and God brings increase. The church model that we have now, boys and girls, ain't going to work anymore. It ain't going to work. Somebody else. Dale Socha, I haven't heard from you in a while. What's your take on it all, Dale?
Well, just as you were calling my name, the word of the Lord that came to me says you cannot pour new wine in old wineskin. How's that? Buddy.
How about that?
Brother. Right?
That's right, brother. And
so, you know, and then the other thing that the Lord was showing me was that, you know, it says when the woman lost her coin in her house, she gathered her lamp and she searched and she swept her house until she found that coin and she rejoiced because what was lost was found. Brother, part of the problem, you know, I'm a vocation pastor. I'm like Bill Dunphy, you know, I work for a living. I'm no burden on the church. I didn't ask to be the pastor. It was put upon me. But brother, people just go to churches because they're convenient, because they're close. Brother, just like you drive to Bill's church 45 minutes away, I got two families that literally drive nearly an hour every Sunday. I used to have families that drive an hour and a half to come to church because they're not going where they want to go. It says that the Lord plants them into the local body as he sees fit. And so, brother, Amen. We don't go to a church where we want to go. We have to go to it. We have to pull out our lamp and we have to search for the church, because there are pastors out there, brother, and it's a hard hill to climb with what's out there, you know, the entertainment Amen. And the big Amen. Programs. Yes, but brother, I just bring the truth. And brother, I had a full altar and it was all on getting out the old leaven, which is sin in the body, you know, and that's the word for me. You cannot put new wine in old wineskin.
And I'm going to quit trying to, Dale. that's a good word there. That's a good word. Got about 5 minutes left here. Anybody? I'll see if there's anything I wanted to make sure I threw up. Yes.
Hey, Coach. Let me bring a note of happiness to everyone today. Because
all right.
Okay, the omnibus bill that was signed on Friday brought a lot of misery and sadness to people's hearts because it looked like capitulation. But instead, it was a massive troll on Trump's part, and I'll tell you why. In the bill, and remember, it's a bill, not a budget. So he's not bound by anything within that bill. So he can take that money and he can build the wall, which he's going to start to do today. Also, he enacted something called the Cloud Act. Now, the Cloud Act has a bit of a smell to it when you look at it, but it's tied into something called SESTA, which is Save America from Child Trafficking Act.
Hmm.
And I did a video on that. I put that in the chat. And I get on now. I forget what I was going to bloody say. But he's not bound by anything in the bill, so he can go ahead and build the wall, and he doesn't have to pay Planned Parenthood one thin dime.
Oh, Vince, so listen to this one, folks. I'm going to tell you this. I couldn't care less. Thank you, Vince. I couldn't care. I ain't waiting on Trump.
Of course not.
What's wrong with us waiting on Trump? Getting mad at Trump.
Right.
What are you doing right where you live? What is the difference that you're making right where you live? Now, let's vote them all out. Oh, well, hell yeah, let's do that. That works, doesn't it? Come on, man. You know what you need to be doing? You need to be doing everything you can to wake up others around you.
Absolutely.
Wake up. Because I'm going to tell you, there is something coming down the pike that I believe at some point we may not even have a federal government for a while. We may not even have one. And we're not ready. We are not. We don't. I got on my screen right now those people of that brigade down in Texas. And these ought to be popping, everyone on this queue, these ought to be popping up everywhere, because you are going to need a network of people that you are going to live in fellowship with. Quit looking at Trump. Quit looking at Paul Ryan. Ah! I'd like to meet Paul Ryan out in the street.
You and me both, brother.
Be prepared. That's what David said. Be prepared. David Arthur's running around telling people they aren't born queer. Yeah! Hell with Trump! Let's help David Arthur do that. Amen. Let's control what we can control. Let's get our mind off of the global picture. And let's look right in front of us, and what is it that we can do right where we live to make a difference.
Well, David, it's like you said, all politics are low.
Hey, JR, who's making excuses for Trump? Yeah. I ain't making excuses for Trump.
He's not the righteous. He's
not making excuses for Trump. I'm saying, where's the church?
Right.
What are we doing?
Right.
What am I doing other than getting on here blowing hot air? What are you doing?
Right,
what are you doing? Where's your butt out of Planned Parenthood? What are you doing? I ain't making excuses for Trump. Get sick of it.
Coach, it's not excuses for Trump, but spreading false information is not what this show is about. And that omnibus budget bill was an appropriations conglomerations of appropriation bills. What Vincent said is not true. Obama got by with using an omnibus budget ways he wanted to because we had a feckless, gutless Republican Congress that let him. But the budget bill is a conglomeration of appropriation bills. It is the legal spending appropriation for the United States.
We are okay. Cool. I ain't worried about it. I can't do anything about it anyway. I can go sit down with my congressman for 17 hours.
You're right. You can't do anything about it, but you can keep erroneous information from being told about it on your show.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. Hey, Vinny, we'll check it out. Send us some information proving that, Vinny. And then we'll let people see that tomorrow. Okay.
Well, brother,
my point is
that we went out. You ask what we do.
I'll let the truth out.
We go out to the abortion.
We go out to the abortion clinic, brother. That's what we do. We go to the gates of hell.
That's
we
right. I'm not out there making excuses for Trump when I'm out at the abortion clinic.
That's it, brother. We're rescuing those unjustly sentenced to death, holding back those led under the slaughter, snatching those literally out of the fire, brother. We're having victory after victory after victory, brother. This is Lot's error, man. I mean, we got to possess the gates, brother. And if we can't connect the dots and seeing that the shedding of innocent blood at the abortion clinics is not trickling down our street and it's causing such a – it is infecting every aspect and area of our life and society because we have no value for life. We're the problem. We're the problem because we can't connect the dots there.
Amen. Amen. Bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. Do what you can right where you live. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That's where I stand on it. I'm going to go take a nap. See you tomorrow. God bless you.